worship.
Gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Woo!
I wanna be.
to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is who you are. Woo! Want to be where you are. Somebody make that your prayer in this moment. Gotta be where you are. Everything I need is where.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank God, amen, for his word tonight. We thank God for this midweek virtual Bible study. Isaiah 55 writes that as the rain comes down and the snow comes down and gives bud and seed to the earth realm, things begin to grow and things begin to come to fruition. He says, just like that, my word will not come back void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. So we thank God for the Logos word, which we'll be exegeting and looking at today and teaching from. And amen, faith come by hearing, hearing through what? The word of God. So we thank God for his word. So may it be revelation and rhema tonight as we go into this Bible study tonight. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice, the psalmist said, and be glad in it. We know that it is a choice. You give us a decision to make every day to praise you. So, God, we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to learn, to grow, to mature, to develop and improve in the things of God. Now, God, we thank you in advance for your word, which will produce a harvest in due season. So have your way in Jesus' name. People of God say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Let's get right into what I want to share tonight. Quite a few passages of scripture we will be turning to if time permits. But I want to go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, which means the beginning. The first book of the Bible, the 32nd chapter. And we're going to start by looking at the life of Jacob. Genesis 32, verse number 24. If you can turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 32, looking at verse number 24. We thank God for you this evening. Amen. I believe that God is going to speak tonight in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 24. Let me just paraphrase and give you a foundation of why I want to start here. Tonight, I simply want to talk from this thought of this topic, determination for manifestation. I want that to be a thought, and I want that to be a topic for tonight's lesson. Determination for manifestation. Glory be to God. We see that Jacob, through his mother and through her coercion and tricking their father Isaac, stole the blessing from Esau and stole his birthright. Well, actually, he didn't steal the birthright. The Bible says that Esau was so hungry one day from coming in from hunting, and he was starving, and Jacob was cooking a stew, and his brother was so hungry, he said, I'll give you something to eat. I'll give you this great smelling and tasting stew if you give me and sell me your birthright. Now, the birthright had great value in that day. And Esau said, what is this to me? As hungry as I am, the birthright means nothing in this moment. My appetite is what I want to satisfy in this moment. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes our appetite can get us in a lot of trouble. Our appetites can get us in a world of trouble. And only God can change our appetite. Only God can change, especially if it's an ungodly desire or longing for something or desire or inclination in a certain area, we need to pray and ask God to intervene and do something to remove the thing that tries to hinder us or mess us up. But we see the birthright being taken away from his brother Esau. We see the blessing being taken away as they tricked their father Isaac and put hair on Jacob's arms and said, smell like Jacob and put on some hairy animal-smelling clothes. And they tricked the father, and Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau's twin brother. So now he has the blessing and the birthright. He's on the run. He goes to Laban, his mother's brother. And then, as they say karma, we don't believe in karma, but as they say karma happens. But we believe it's the law of reaping and sowing. What you sow, you will reap, and what you reap, you will sow. Jacob was such a trickster, but he met Laban, who was 10 times worse than Jacob. Laban lied to Jacob. Laban tricked Jacob, deceived him by giving him Leah first, thinking he's going to work in 7 years for Rachel, but they tricked him. His uncle tricked him and gave him Leah, then told him to work another 7 years, finally gave him Rachel, and then another 7 years, robbed him of some of his money and his pay, and Jacob got what he put out. And God is saying to you and I tonight, even before we get into this lesson, listen, let's just try to do the right thing so right can come to us. I'm amazed, and the reason I went to Jacob is because Jacob finally said, listen, I need to repent. I need to turn. I need to have remorse and regret and change the direction I'm headed in. You see, so many believers, so many Christians, maybe you're not on this line, but far too many have the opportunity of God's grace, and we take it for granted and don't take the opportunities and the chances, second, third, or however many chances he give us, to do the right thing with the opportunity that he lays before us. But Jacob was not going to let that happen, and we're going to see that tonight. But let's start here in Genesis 32:24, remembering the topic tonight, determination for manifestation. Okay, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day break. And he said, I will not let you go except or until you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, your name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob, like Moses, y'all remember Moses hid in the cliff of the mountain? And God said, you cannot see my face, but I'm going to just pass by you. You'll see my backside. Even then, Moses should have been a goner. Because you cannot come into the presence of a sinful man. Yes, we all are sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You cannot even come in the presence of a sovereign God and survive. So we see Jacob saying, I wrestled with God. I saw God face to face. And I'm still alive. Who is that for tonight? Maybe you had a close call. Maybe you had a close incident that God spared your life. Maybe, glory be to God, you can relate to Jacob and Moses and say, if it had not been for the Lord who's been on my side, where would I be? But I want to look at these verses, and I just want to get some thoughts tonight. In verse number 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone. Sometimes in a busy world that we're in, you can go on social media 2, 3, 4 in the morning and find somebody to talk to, find somebody to chat with, look at what people are saying and typing. And we're in a day where you can be a busybody and just keep being a busybody. And God is saying, sometimes I need that alone time. I need isolation and solitude with my children. I believe that sometimes God do his best work in privacy. God do the greatest work in our lives in those quiet solitude moments. And we see that Jacob was left alone, and now he had this opportunity to come face to face with his past and with his future. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And look at verse number 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was out of joint. From that point on, Jacob needed to walk with a staff. He became handicapped. He became disabled. He began to walk with a staff for the rest of his life. And God is telling somebody tonight, glory be to God, that sometimes I put reminders in your life to remind you, hallelujah, that I'm with you, that you had an encounter with me, that you had an experience with me that nobody can deny. Come on, somebody. This is why nobody can, don't let anyone or anything or any people determine your level of success or your level of progress, your level of advancing. Only you know where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. I know I was on my mother's floor. I was still in those clubs drinking and getting high. I was still doing certain things and still had this storm cloud over my head about some things I did not even forgive myself for. When I got saved, come on, when I got saved, I remember distinctly. I remember specifics where I was emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. And God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm about to run right now. God said, your past, son, is in your past. I need you to leave your past in your past. And I need you to develop a determination today for manifestation. See, when God gives us reminders, like Pastor talked about the other day, we're in Pentecost, the season of Pentecost. We understand Passover. God gave Moses instructions, create the Passover. Remember this day that the death angel passed over my people when they saw the blood on the doorpost, and I don't want this to ever be forgotten throughout the ages and centuries throughout history. I need a memorial called the Passover. I need when the Holy Ghost invaded the earth, the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room praying, glory be to God, and a rushing mighty wind came in, and cloven tongues of fire sat on them, and they began to speak in other languages throughout the entire world, and people from other regions in the world said, how can they know our language? How can they pray and prophesy and preach in our known tongue? And I don't want you to forget Pentecost when I came in the third person of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the promiser, the counselor, the teacher. I'm going to give you reminders. But in verse number 26, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's where I got that determination for manifestation. We got to be that determined like Jacob. He said, I'm not letting, My past is horrible. I tricked my brother. I'm about to meet him again. I don't know if he's going to kill me. I see Laban gave me what I put out. I have now Leah and Rachel and all these kids I need to take care of. I need God to intervene right now in my life. So I'm determined for God to manifest his blessings in my life, and I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. I pray that you, if you don't have that determination, you will develop that determination. Because guess what? Life is going to keep coming. He said, in that day, be of good cheer, because you will have trouble and you will face tribulation. We cannot escape it, beloved. We are not exempt from the wiles of the devil. In Revelation, he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The devil know that his time is short. He came to rage war on my children. But we fight not against flesh and blood. Hey, glory be to God. We got to put on the whole armor of God. Sometimes we leave and we thinking we don't need a pastor. There's that lie out there that I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. The devil is a liar. You need a covering. You need a shepherd. We need somebody to speak the word of God and to pray for us and to cover us. That's why he said, I give the fivefold ministry gift, apostles, teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints and for the ministry. I have given you spiritual leaders to help you. So I thank God that when I was lost, I had a pastor, Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr., spoke into my life, spoke the word of God, lived a life before me that I can exemplify and demonstrate. Amen. Minister Brown, Minister Robinson, Patricio Wilson, Pastor Glover Williams, Elder Rogers, Elder Barlow, Elder Mann, so many people poured into me and Pastor Rebecca lives. And now we thank God for the word which bared fruit. Even the person that officiated our wedding, we thank God because we married, we're celebrating 22 years of marriage this year. Oh, glory be to God. And I thank God for it. But I'm falling behind in my lesson. Let's keep it moving. Leave your past in your past. The power of one. The power of one is what I got from verse number 28. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Remember this transforming power of God that changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel? Even the state of Israel, the country of Israel, even today, centuries later, is being changed, is being looked upon, is being protected because of what one man did, and his name was Jacob. He had a determination for manifestation. He wrestled with God. God gave him the name of Israel. Even the people of Israel, Jacob's 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, are still blessed today. The Jewish people are still a blessed people today because of what one man did, Jacob. So imagine the power that you have to bless your family. Imagine the ability you have to bless your church and your community. Imagine the potential and possibility that you have as one person. Do not let the devil lie to you to say you're insignificant or that you don't have the value that God says you have. You are valuable to the kingdom. You are significant. You do matter in the name of Jesus. Let's go to another person that had determination for manifestation. King Hezekiah. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Here's another man who had a determination for manifestation. The Bible says in a psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Sometimes I think we forget the promises of God, yea and amen, for our lives. Sometimes I think we forget that we already inherit. We are already heirs with Jesus. We are already inheritors of the promises of God. Remember in Luke chapter, I think it's 17, the woman who was bent over for 18 years, and she could not stand up, and Jesus saw her in the temple, and she kept coming to church, but nobody could help her get healed. But she, I believe she kept coming, Pastor, I believe she kept coming to church because she had determination for manifestation. I pray y'all hear me tonight. There's so many people saying, I've been in pain for so long. I've been in this condition for so long. I've been in this situation for so long. This woman for 18 years was bent over, could not stand up straight. It wasn't just scoliosis. It wasn't just her. She had bad posture. She was bent over, literally bent over, and could not hold herself up. And Jesus came in and saw her in this condition. And what did he say? After he healed her and said, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. You are loosed from your infirmity. And then the people, the religious folk, the hypocritical spirit that was in that day said, Jesus, can you not come on the Sabbath day and heal anybody else? He said, you sound like a fool. This woman was bent over for 18 years, and you're trying to tell me the day of the week that I heal her matters? But if your animal fall in a ditch, will you not get it out of that ditch on the Sabbath day? If you have an animal that finds itself in a predicament, will you not get it out of that predicament, even though it's the Sabbath day? Will you not do that work? Because you know that is your livelihood. You know that's your gain, your means to money. He said, why not, listen to what he said, why not this daughter of Abraham, my God? When that song, there was a song out, The Blessings of Abraham is on your life. I think it was not Jonathan Nelson, the other, I can't even think of his name right now. Yeah. But Donald Lawrence, the blessings of Abraham are on your life. And I'm here to decree and declare over you, the blessings of Abraham are on your life. The covenant that God made with Abraham, no, we're not Jews, we are the Gentiles, but he said through the Spirit, you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. Through the Spirit, the seed of Abraham, even Jesus Christ, and the son of David, and David, and all through the lineage of Abraham, all the way to Joseph, Mary's husband, the father of Jesus, all this natural lineage, we are the spiritual lineage. So the blessings of Abraham are on your life. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Look at 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. Another man like Jacob, determined to see manifestation. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, get your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Wow. Can you imagine a real prophet, Isaiah was a real man of God. Can you imagine hearing words like that, knowing that he was a real messenger of God? Look at verse number 2. Then he, I told you, determination for manifestation. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is right in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Verse 6, and I will add unto your life 15 years, and I will deliver you. Determination for manifestation. How many people would have gave up on life? How many would have quit in that moment, knowing that this was a real prophet, and not too many of Isaiah's words fell to the ground? He said, get your house in order, write your will, make your funeral arrangements, get your inheritance together, because you will not recover from this disease. Hezekiah said, no, I'm determined to manifest healing. The Bible says he turned to the wall, he wept, he put God in remembrance of how he tried to live. And God said, I heard your prayers, I saw your tears, and I'm going to respond by healing you and delivering you. You see why we pray every Tuesday night? Do you understand the power of prayer and the prayer of faith? See, people of God, Jacob, say the power of prayer.
The power of prayer.
Say that one more time. The power of prayer.
The power of prayer.
I'm going to show you through these two men the power of prayer. Can we go back and look at Jacob for a minute? We're going to go back and look at Jacob. But this time, turn to chapter number 32. I'm sorry, turn to chapter number 33. We're going back to look at the life of Jacob just for a moment, because there's some scriptures. You know, I normally like to talk fast and rush through it. For some reason, God is telling me to slow down tonight, and I'm going to be obedient. Because I can talk fast and I can turn to these scriptures fast, but God told me to take my time, so I'm being obedient. Amen. As I'm speaking to you, he's speaking to me. So the power of prayer is what I want to talk about just for a minute. But in Genesis chapter, matter of fact, I did want to go to 32. Is that where I wanted to? Give me a second here. Yeah. Okay, we started in Genesis 32, but we looked at when Jacob wrestled with God. But now go back to chapter 32, look at verse 9, because I want to talk a moment about the power of prayer as we continue to talk about determination for manifestation. I want us to see how Jacob prayed. And this is why at the outset I said he got tired of running from his past. He got tired of living on the run and being afraid of his brother Esau, knowing that Esau would probably eventually catch up with him. But listen to how Jacob prayed in Genesis 32, verse number 9. Listen to his prayer. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto your country and unto your kindred, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all of your mercies. He's talking to God. I'm not worthy of your mercy. And of the truth, which you have shown unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become of two bands. Listen to his prayer. Verse number 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and kill me, and the mother with the children. And thou didst say, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of him that which came to his hand to present for Esau his brother. Listen to what he was about to give Esau his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, sheep, and 20 rams, 30 milch camels, colts, 49 10 bulls, 20 donkeys, and 10. In other words, he was giving. Remember, I told you he took his birthright. He took his blessing. He's saying, listen, God has been good to me. I'm rich. I got money. I got animals. I got wives. I got kids. And it says in verse 17, and he commanded the foremost, saying, he now gave this to his servant, Esau, my brother, meet thee, and ask thee, saying, whose art thou? And where are you going before thee? Verse 18, you shall say, your brother Jacob, it is he that gave you this present. And I'm going to put it in my own words. He's trailing behind us. I'm reading the King James, but I'm just trying to make it plain. In other words, Jacob brought all this stuff, gave it to his servant, presented this bribe, if you will, to Esau, his brother, saying, I'm trying to repent. I'm asking you for forgiveness. I know I stole your birthright and your birthright, but I have all this accumulated wealth. I'm giving this to you, and I'm trailing behind my servant because I'm fearing for my life. Look at how God answered his prayer and manifestation and determination, how Jacob received both. Chapter number 33, verse number 1. But I want to remind us the power of prayer. He prayed according to the word of God. He prayed according to what God prophesied over his life. In other words, there's a prophetic word over your life. There's been prophecy prophesied to you that will manifest. And it will come to pass in due season. The word of God, too, will not come back void, but will produce fruit in your life. Jacob gave God the word. Jacob gave God the prophecy.
Yeah.
And now let's see the manifestation. Genesis 33, verse number 1, the next chapter over. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children of Leah and the children of Rachel and his two handmaids. He began to separate his wives and his children. And he put the handmaids and the children in front, and Leah and her children after the handmaids. And then Rachel, the one he loved the most, and Joseph, the one he loved the most, he put them back toward him. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother Esau. He's still afraid. He's bowing toward his brother Esau as Esau is making his way toward Jacob. Verse number 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they both cried and wept. Do you see the manifestation here, people of God? Look at verse number 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and children and said, who are these people? And he said, the children which God has graciously given me, his servant, Jacob. That sounds like it looked like manifestation to me. Even though Jacob, you see the power of repentance. You know, God cannot make it any simpler. That's why people don't understand the Christian faith and our walk with God. His grace really is sufficient. He said if you repent, if you have godly remorse and godly sorrow, if you confess with your mouth, hallelujah, your sins, he is faithful, I'm talking about 1 John, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil, the accuser, just keep you stuck in sin.
Yeah.
Don't let him put this accusation and this guilt trip on you. Don't let them put you in bondage thinking that you're going to get exposed and you're going to get discovered and God's going to get revealed and the shame and the guilt. No, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Say, God, help me in this particular situation, whatever that sin is. Don't hide from it. Put it in the light. Say, God, help me with blank, blank, blank. Because the devil wants us to keep it in dark. He wants us to keep it in secret because now that thing has power over us. Now that thing becomes our God because it controls us. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to be shamed. But when you repent, God has a way, hallelujah, of throwing that thing into the sea of forgetfulness. He has a way like in the life of Jacob, as we can see right here. Listen. We know what Jacob did was wrong, but we see restoration in chapter number 33, don't we? Do we not see manifestation and restoration? And that's what God is saying. I told you, and some of y'all know my testimony, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, one of my biggest hang-ups when I first got saved was forgiving myself. Because I ain't going to tell you all my business. Ain't none of your business what I did in my unsaved days. And, you know, it's a joke. It's humor. When you get to know me, that's my humor. That's my fun side. I don't mean any harm when I talk like that. It's a humorous kind of sarcasm that I sometimes use. So don't be offended by that kind of language. But when I say it's none of your business and I bring it to God, there are certain things that we cannot disclose to nobody but God. We can't give all of our business to anybody but God. And in my unsaved days, there were some things that I did that I was not proud of, that brought shame to my life. And I had trouble forgiving myself. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And maybe that's you. I know some believers and some Christians that go to their grave never forgiving themselves and never letting go and letting God. I mean, for real, for real. I could not be happily married. I could not be the father that I am today, the husband that I am today. If that stuff would have been still hanging over me, I would not have this freedom and liberty that I experience today. And God is saying sometimes when we don't let go and let God, that thing can become a stumbling block. It can become a hindrance in your marriage. It can, you know, you're not as powerful as a believer or a father or a wife. Because you still have this inner shame, this inner guilt, this inner thing going on that only you know about. And God is saying, release that thing to me today. Give it to me today. Hand that thing over to me today. And we got to give that thing to God. And I tell you, I tell you no lie, the load is lighter. You start living a blessed life. Life becomes rewarding. Why you think I can have humor and laughter and smile? And you know, I went to a delivery today, and there was a stop. One stop, the guy said to me, "Tone, I know you know we talk about the Mets, his baseball team. I don't know baseball, but I listen to sports enough to know a little bit about the Mets. And I got a lot of buddies in Hoboken where I work." And they talk about the Mets and the Yankees, and they know I'm a Raider and Laker fan, big football and basketball fan I am. I don't know baseball. But he said, "Tony, I know you don't use profanity, but excuse my language." And he started the cussing. I mean, he started cussing about the Mets and cussing the Mets out. But I love the fact that he see me as a man of integrity. A man that he says, I never heard you curse or use profanity or cuss words. So he told me, I know you're not a man of profanity. I know you're not a man who cuss or use cuss words. And that blessed me. But I went to a gymnasium. It's CKO, Club KO. And they got all these weight bags, all these boxing bags. And it's a workout gym where you got to buy these boxing gloves. And they workout, and they run around this big gymnasium. They punch these bags, and they kick these bags. And they do push-ups. They do sit-ups. And the music is blasting. The adrenaline is, I mean, just off the chart. And you hear the personal trainer over the PA system. Come on, don't give up. You can't quit now. And as I'm at this delivery stop, she said something that got my attention. She said, remember, this is her words, remember what's on the inside of you. Wow. No, that's not what she said. I wrote it down. She said it like this. She said, remember who you are inside. That's how she put it. She said, remember who you are inside. And they were exhausted. And the music was pumping. I tell you, I wanted to get in line. Because if you ever worked out or ever joined a gym and you have a personal trainer, their job is to fuel you up. My wife and I used to do Tai Bo, Billy Blanks. And Tai Bo was a mixture of martial arts and karate and kickboxing. And he used to get you going, man. Your adrenaline be flowing. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Remember who you are inside. If you want determination for manifestation, remember who you are inside. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. And there's so many other scriptures I want to go to. Deuteronomy 28, reminding us about the blessings. We're not a blessed people, we're not a cursed people. We are a blessed people. Amen.
Amen.
We're not a cursed people. We are a blessed people. And sometimes, you know, if it grieves me, it grieves God. Not that I've arrived. I still need prayer. I still, you know, sometimes have that double-minded thing going on. Doubt and fear still comes in. Amen, somebody. So sometimes the enemy gets the best of us, and we back up and we retreat for a moment, and we back up because the enemy is coming in like a flood. And if we're to be totally honest, sometimes we back up from the dream, we back up from the vision, we back up from the mission and the assignment that we know, we back up from the purpose that God has destined for our lives, because the enemy every now and again gets the upper hand on us believers, if the truth was to be told. But when you determine, when you develop this determination for manifestation, hallelujah, you say like, glory be to God, you say like so many, I'm determined to win. Yeah. I'm just determined to see what the end is going to be. This is why when I get really low on energy or low on fuel, I find myself quickly going to Hebrews chapter number 11. They call it the faith chapter. They call it... that's pretty much what they call it, the faith chapter. Y'all know Hebrews chapter 1 is quoted so much, it's rehearsed so much. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God spoke the world into existence, and this is why, glory be to God, it says without faith it's impossible to please God. And then they go on and list all the people before us that doubted, that had fear, that had second thoughts, that was double-minded. Come on, somebody, that had fear. That's why our human side, we got to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at that list. They experienced fear. They experienced doubt. They were too double-minded. They had second thoughts. But it said they all died in faith, believing in the promise. I wish I can turn there, but time does not permit. Hebrews chapter number 11. When you get low on energy, when your faith is weakened, and we're going to talk about that some on Sunday, how our weaknesses are reality. We all have weaknesses. We all have those vulnerable areas. We all have inadequacies, all of us. And we're going to talk about that on Sunday. But God, this determination for manifestation is so humbling, because determination is just something. This is why I just got to say this. I've been in church now over 2 years, 2 decades. Even before I became a pastor and God called me to the pastorate, I found myself hungering for Sundays, hungering for that church service, getting that worship experience, fellowshipping as I met friends and met people that would encourage me. Even in the church that we came up with, every now and again, somebody would be able to give a testimony of getting delivered from drugs and alcohol, getting their marriage restored, buying their first home, getting their job when they was unemployed, beating and getting healed from cancer. Every now and again, you would hear a powerful testimony. And I got to the place where I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be around the believers. I wanted that fellowship of the saints. When I was in college, I pledged a fraternity, and that brotherhood meant a lot to me. I'm still, even in this day, if I call one of those fraternity brothers, they would meet me. We would hook up. We had a bond, and it was really a brotherhood. I mean, for real. And we're still in touch today, not as in touch as we used to be, but I can pick up the phone right now and reach out to them, and they will respond. That brotherhood was tight. And I think the fellowship of the believers should be like that. We should want to go to church. We should want to be part of that fellowship. Amen, somebody. And as I look at hearing the word of God, it has helped me with my determination to win.
Yeah.
Faith come by hearing, hearing through the word of God. Pastor Rebecca preached on Sunday, preached from the life of Hannah. I've never been barren. I'm a man. I've never been to that place where I could not have children. But Hannah, God knew Hannah was barren. God knew that he would use Samuel to bless David, to usher in the new regime. God knew that he would use Hannah to deal with Eli and Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who did sin against God's people. God knew that none of Samuel's words would fall to the ground, and he used Hannah, who was called barren, to bless God's people. And Hannah, see, I can't even go, but go and read it in your leisure time, because I'm gonna keep talking about Hannah. God got me there right now. But I was going to go to Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas also had a determination for manifestation. They were praying and praising God in the prison cell. That's Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. But Hannah, matter of fact, we're going to turn there. As I continue to talk, turn to Acts chapter 16, and we'll close out there. But Hannah had a determination for manifestation. Peninnah, her adversary, provoked her, and instead of punching this woman in the face, Hannah went to the temple and prayed. And Hannah prayed. And Hannah got an answer for God because she was determined to manifest blessings. Hannah was determined, glory be to God, and God met her. Not just gave her Samuel, which she gave back to God, and Samuel anointed King David. Samuel anointed King Saul. Samuel dealt with God's people. Amen, somebody. None of Samuel's words fell to the ground, and that all happened through his mother, Hannah. And then God gave her, I think, 3 more daughters and 2 more sons, 5 more kids. She was determined for manifestation. Determination for manifestation is what Hannah got, and Hannah got the blessings of God. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 16. The book of Acts, if you can turn there, we'll close out here tonight. Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, as we went up for prayer, a certain woman possessed with the spirit of divination. A certain girl, as we went up to pray, had a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain or much money by soothsaying. This woman was a psychic. She had sorcery. She had a spirit of divination. She was a seer. And she was a soothsayer. Amen.
Yeah.
We see that in our day when a person go and have readings and they call the psychic hotline. The believer should never do such a thing. The believer should believe in God and God alone. Don't mix none of that with your faith. Amen. Don't mix none of that with your faith. But this person, as they went to pray, this woman came. And listen to what she said. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way to salvation. Let me put it in my words how she was saying it sarcastically. She was a seer. And she knew the truth. She wasn't prophesying. She had a spirit of sarcasm. These men are of the Most High God. They are here to show us the way to salvation. She was being a wise person and being sarcastic and being a pain in Paul's side. Listen to verse number 18. And this she did day after day and for many days. But Paul, being grieved, Paul got tired of it. He turned and said to the spirit, he spoke to the woman, he spoke to that spirit on the inside of her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. Paul cast that demon out of her. Verse number 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their money was gone, they took Paul and Silas. I'm going to just tell you the rest. They took them and beat them and put them in prison and lied on them, and they were thrown into prison. And we're about to go to verse number 25 as I close out. But the point I want to make from that, this woman had an evil spirit. She taunted Paul and Silas and the believers as they went up to church to pray. As they went to worship, she did it time and time again. And Paul cast that demon out of her.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, when you're ready to go to church, when you're about to go to pray, when you're coming to Bible study, when you're about to read your Bible, when you're about to do something to help your spiritual growth, hear me and hear me good, people of God. Here come the distractions. Here come the issues and that distracting spirit sent from the devil trying to block your blessing. Again, I was going to turn to Mark chapter 4. Some produce 30, 60, 100 fold, but as the sower soweth the word, immediately the enemy comes and takes that word. That's another distraction. So press through those moments. Push through those distractions. Don't let nothing hinder your walk with God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm going to read verse number 25 and stop. I'm going to read more, but time's not going to permit. Verse 25, we're still in Acts 16. I'm going to read this one verse. And at midnight, somebody say midnight. Paul and Silas prayed. And Paul and Silas sang praises. In other words, they were praising unto God. and the prisoners heard it. Verse 26, I told you I was going to stop, but I couldn't. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone, chains, bands were loosed and broken off of them. God is telling me to tell you tonight, when you develop that determination for manifestation, the curse will be broken. Every chain that has been keeping you in bondage will be broken off of you. The chain of poverty, that chain and curse of sickness, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare it broken off of your life tonight. They praised and they prayed God, not any hour of the day. It said it was at midnight. That means from one day to the next, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come the next day in the morning. God was about to do something. God was about to do something in the next moment. I'm here to tell you, who knows if your breakthrough won't come through on tomorrow? Who don't? Oh, glory be to God. I'm getting excited. I can't even talk. Who is to say that today is not the day for you? The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, come on, we shall be changed.
Yeah.
In other words, while we blink, I don't know how many times a day, I wish my wife could look it up, but how many times a day we blink our eyes? That's how fast God can bless you. I need to quit. I need to stop. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this lesson. God, help us to develop that determination for manifestation. We want to see manifestation. We don't just want them to be empty words and words that don't come to reality. But God, we want to see the manifestation in our marriage. Those of us looking for a good, godly relationship, we want it to manifest. Those of us looking for the career of choice, whether we want to be a nurse, a school teacher, an engineer, go into politics and run for political office, if we want to become a chef and be on the cooking channel or the Food Network, if we want to go on American Idol or The Voice and do something great with our singing voice, that might be for Sister Maria. Go on The Voice or American Idol and try out. Glory be to God. But whatever it is, may we manifest your blessings. May you stir up the gift of God in us, that our gifts will make room for us, in the name of Jesus. So God, bless your people tonight. All of those who tuned in tonight, all of those that will listen to the recording, God, give them that determination, passion and zeal, resilience, diligence, not to quit and never to give up. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love you. If you're in this New Jersey area, prayerfully, there's a powerful word from the Lord on Sunday. We will see you at New Creation Church, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, the city in New Jersey. See you Sunday. God bless you.